All right, joining me today here at Pit Pass Network is Anthony Alfredo, otherwise known as Fast Pasta. If you check out his Twitch or his YouTube channel here, Anthony, how did you get started in NASCAR? What turned you on to NASCAR? Was it iRacing or was it something else?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, I really grew up a race fan, so I have kind of a unique path into the sport. It all started with my parents. They were going to races long before I was born and flying from New York to Charlotte to go to the Coke 600 Tour race shops. And I just grew up watching it with them, went to a couple races when I was younger and loved it. There was nothing I enjoyed watching more as far as sports went. I was always into extreme sports, and motorsports were kind of top of that list, not to mention, some of the other stick and ball sports I did play in high school and middle school and when I was younger. But I was going to the rental go-kart track, and that was really where I first got my feet wet. And I was pretty good at it, but I wasn't sure it actually meant anything. So it wasn't until I got into what's called a legend car and really got some experience racing. And that wasn't until I was 15. So there's a pretty big gap. A few years where I was playing stick and ball sports, and I was always big into snowboarding, skateboarding, all those kinds of things while I, wasn't racing. So during that hiatus, I was kind of falling behind, right? Everyone races almost their entire life, or at least most of the guys at this level. So I feel like I have always been playing catch up, but that's where iRacing played a huge role. And when I first started racing, I discovered iRacing because I was trying to find a way to practice and hone my skills, develop racecraft, and just develop as a driver quicker. And there, it's, it costs to go test, go practice. And I was trying to find a way to do that or find the next best thing, at least to have a supplement to seat time. And that's where iRacing really helped me out over the years. I think it propelled me in my career. It's done a lot for me, and it's played an even more crucial role the last few years. It's been pivotal with not having any practice or qualifying for 2 years. And now it's just limited practice. So to be able to turn laps, the seat of my own home, and get familiar with racetracks, visual cues, actually feel the bumps, because my sim seat's driving simulator has D-Box haptics on it. So it moves around and I can really pick up on some of the characteristics of the track. And it's a huge training tool for me, which is awesome.
Yeah. So you mentioned, so 15, you were 15 when you started?
Yeah, I started really late. Like I said, I raced go-karts when I was a lot younger, and they were just rental go-karts. It wasn't even like the real deal. At least some people don't consider that it. So it wasn't until I was 15 that I got into a legend car. So super late start compared to some individuals for sure. And I'm 23 now, so I haven't been doing it for that long.
Yeah, so just 8 years, and you've already got one, full season of Cup, right?
Yep, absolutely. I got that one last year in 2021, and it was a huge jump for me because of that limited experience it did have, especially running partial schedules in both the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. But the way this sport is now, and the way the industry's business model has shifted, you really have to come up with a lot of your own sponsorship. And I enjoy brand building and representing my partners and be able to, build our own program with, whichever team will have us. But of course, there's all kinds of owners that may be interested by you or intrigued by your talent or performance or personality even, but they don't just hand you rides anymore because they like you. You still have to come up with a sponsorship. So I had always been trying to find what's best for me and my partners, in a partial funding situation, whether that was running a more competitive car for a handful of races or running a full-time season and a lesser, smaller budget equipment. And those smaller teams is always a challenge. But what I did in the Cup Series was huge for me, because even though I was with a small team, I learned so much. And that experience was priceless, as rough as the year was. And at the time I thought, it wasn't as valuable as I intended for it to be. Coming back to the Xfinity Series this year with another small team, essentially, I've really seen how much it helped me develop as a driver, and the experience I gained. I feel like all those years I always lacked in experience, I caught up just from racing the Cup Series for a year and coming back. So although it was a huge jump for me, it was totally worth it at this point in my career, because now I could kind of come back, reset. I'm on this, a more level playing field as far as experience goes. But now, it's just growing with my partners and being in a competitive car to go win races.
So you talked a little bit about iRacing helping you close the gap Now, a lot of people, there are some skeptics out there about iRacing because they said it's not like the manufacturer simulators that you can get into. So have you been in a manufacturer simulator? And if so, what are the differences? And maybe some places where iRacing is worked really well and some places that it just can't match what the simulators can do.
Well, the biggest difference is those simulators are multi-million dollar racing rigs, pretty much, you know, compared to your at-home sim. And the biggest difference is they're developed using real-world physics and tire data and all sorts of models like that. And they're constantly being improved on. You know, you do a lot of post-race simulation just to make it more accurate and improve on it, because you might go to the racetrack after being on the manufacturer sim for weeks and something's a little off or not accurate, and you got to go back and verify that and make it better. So, you know, after years of trial and error, they've got them really dialed in, and I've been fortunate enough to be on all three. I was on the Toyota sim. That was the first manufacturer sim I was on. That was back in 2019. So I'm sure it's come a long way since then, but then I was on Ford's all of last year. And before that, I was actually on the Chevy sim between. So they're all very similar, actually. But they're just super, super advanced, high tech. You actually have G4 simulation in there. The whole thing moves on multiple axes. So it really replicates what you feel in the car as best it can. And it's pretty neat just the way they operate as far as making the driver feel immersed, but more importantly, giving you the feel in the car and the balance so that you can really dial in your setup. I don't think on iRacing, it's possible to build your real world setup exactly. You can probably get it close, and there might be some nuances in the sim itself that have differences. Maybe the track is a little too much grip or too little, and you know, all sorts of other things with the car itself. But it's the closest thing to real life anybody can get, especially for, you know, just a consumer wanting to experience it, right? Anyone can hop on iRacing and experience it. It's way better than any video game out there. That's why it's a simulation and not a game. So it's definitely hard to compare to the manufacturer sims just because they have so much more time and, you know, resources and development put into those. But iRacing is truly remarkable at how realistic it is. And some tracks are closer than others, I find, but, you know, they work their hardest at trying to improve all of them. And it's a pretty small team of people. So the fact that they can keep up as well as they do is impressive. And they're always trying to make it better. But this year I'm, you know, don't have the luxury of being in a manufacturer sim anymore. So I've spent a whole lot more time preparing for races on my own iRacing rig. Cause like I said, it's the next best thing. And it's the closest thing to real life without getting in one of those manufacturer sims.
Now, you mentioned you've been at a few different teams here, but looking, and you brought it up here, being at Toyota, Ford, and Chevrolet, a lot of times people will get attached to a manufacturer and they'll help move them through the ranks. It, you know, you drove in 2019, 2020, and 2021 at three different manufacturers. So what was that like, and why were you not attached to a manufacturer? Like, you came and got your start there with DGR. What was that like in the truck series? And then you went to RCR and then to Front Row.
That's a great question. You know, my first year at Toyota was DGR's first year in the truck series, and I only ran 12 races, but had an excellent experience with Toyota. But when I met Austin Craven and Team Dillon Management, and they picked me up, they presented me the opportunity to run in the NASCAR Xfinity Series part-time with RCR. And, you know, they, at that point in time, they were competing for a championship. They did ultimately win the championship. And, you know, the people at Toyota were super easy to work with. You know, they understood that it was a huge opportunity for me, and they told me they couldn't offer me anything as good as that. So to go take it, maybe our paths would cross again. And when I was at RCR, that was really my breakout year. You know, I only ran a limited schedule about half the year and was competing for race wins, leading laps, running up front. And that's with no practice or qualifying, mind you, coming out of 12 truck races, which was coming out of a K&E season, which is only 14 races. So not a whole lot of racing or experience going into either of those opportunities. And when I was part-time in the trucks, I thought I would run full-time the next year. And then when I was in the Xfinity deal and it was going really well, I was hoping I would be able to go run full-time the following year, especially in that equipment. With how my performance was with that little experience, I know now with the experience I have, I could easily go win a lot of races and compete for a championship in that situation. But same thing happened, you know, limited funding kind of prevented me from having a full-time ride in that situation. So I either had to, I had to make the hard decision to either run that car part-time again or try to find a full-time ride, even if it meant being in less competitive equipment. And just by the grace of God and circumstances, the 38 Cup car opened up at the last second. And most of the guys had deals done since it was so late in the season and drivers were already signed. I just so happened to be one of the guys available with a little bit of sponsorship money to go with it. So they were able to take a chance on me for that year, which I appreciate. And like I said, I learned a ton from that. And once again, you know, that's a jump from Chevy to Ford, but it was all solely based on circumstances and the teams I was with and whether or not, you know, those manufacturers could provide me with the same opportunity I had. So that's just kind of why I've bounced around and with different teams, but this whole sport revolves around sponsorship. And, you know, now I'm back with Chevy and I'm really happy, but it's not, we're not necessarily fully supported by Chevy or a Chevy team by any means, because we don't get sim time or anything like that. We're just running Chevrolet Camaros on track and are a small team trying to make it work.
So when you got to RCR and you were able to have some really great races here, looking at the results page, I'm not going to lie to you, I got them up. I'm looking at them right now. What was that like to be, you know, affiliated with them for that, you know, short schedule? Like you said, you didn't run all the races, but there's a lot of single digits on here. And are there any races that stick out to you in your memory that you think, you know, if with a little bit more experience, you could have won that season?
Absolutely. There were some races I definitely should have won. I felt like, and things either went wrong or one of the times I made a mistake leading a race and, you know, learn the hard way, especially with no practice or qualifying. It's all trial and error, right? So that's part of it. That's why you see a lot of these guys in a perfect world, you would go while you're climbing out of a lower division, say you're a truck series driver. A lot of those guys run a handful of Xfinity races. So when they take that next step the following year, they've already got some seat time and are ready to go race. Like Ty Gibbs ran a bunch of races last year, won some of them even. But then he comes into this year and he's more than prepared to run full time. So that's always perfect world scenario, but it's not a perfect world. So you're trying to navigate what's best for you and your partners and what's going to help you develop the most as a driver. So in that year, absolutely a phenomenal year for a rookie with hardly any experience and no practice and no qualifying. But it's almost aggravating in a way to look at those results, knowing that I'm back in the series now with a full year of Cup Series experience under my belt. And, you know, I'm worked the top 15 in points, which is huge for our team because we run a lot better than we should. But I know if I was back in equipment like that, I could be a contender week in and week out racing for wins and possibly even a championship. So, you know, part of it's, you know, funny to look at it that way and think I've come out of the Cup Series with way more experience and my results aren't as great as they were as a rookie with hardly any experience running a limited schedule. But that's just a telltale sign and really portrays how different or how much equipment matters in this sport. The drivers are only as good as their cars. And in the National Series, most of the guys are capable of winning races. It's just a matter not of if they have the best car.
Yeah. And you jumped from, you know, like you had no full-time seasons, jumped up into the Cup Series. What was it like there when you got into the Cup Series? You made it to where you wanted to go. You were with a smaller team, but you know, you were there, started every race, and it was a struggle, right? You know, you got there, you didn't have the experience that you needed the years prior, just a couple years in trucks and you know, the part-time year in Richard Childress. And then you get there and you run every race, and it looks like it was quite the learning experience here, but you did get better towards the end of the season, it would appear.
Yeah, I think the interesting part about that is the year was strange, right? Because there is hardly any fans at the track to start the year. No practice or qualifying. I didn't get the full Cup Series experience, or at least rookie experience, I should say. But we did finish runner up in the standings as far as rookie of the year goes, and had some good runs, rookie of the race a handful of times. And, you know, some races went better than others. I felt like most went worse than others just because of, you know, having part failures or tires go down, get caught up in some wrecks and whatnot. But I really got better as the year went on, as I did get more comfortable running the longer races and understanding how to approach them as far as strategy and put yourself in position and and, you know, not trying to finish 20th with a 25th place car. Like, those are all hard lessons I had to learn, especially coming out of winning equipment. You know, you have a shot to win every week, or at least run top five, and then you get in a car where a top 20 is a, might be a good day, or a top 15 is a win, you know, or some days worse than that, you just hope to be top 25 or 20. So that was a really harsh reality, and difficult to get used to, but it's kind of a culture shock, I guess, if that's the right term. And when I got used to it, improved a lot, but we just, you know, being with a smaller team and reusing parts and, you know, just trying to stretch things, you have mechanical failures at times and struggle in all sorts of ways, you know, just lack speed, and you do all you can to finish as best you can and take advantage of the opportunity I had to race in the Cup Series full time. It was a blessing and very fortunate to have done that for a year, but, you know, I don't plan on taking that step again now, unless it's going to be in more competitive equipment and I can, you know, have a shot to race up front and, you know, ideally compete for wins. But that's going to take performing at this level, which is also going to take being in a more competitive car. So we're doing all we can, and we've done an excellent job with, done a lot with a little this year. I always say we're the little team that could. So the experience I got in the Cup Series last year was totally worth it. I think the hardest part about it was that I ran part-time in truck and Xfinity, right? So I hadn't raced at almost half the tracks on the schedule, which is crazy to think about. That my first year in the Cup Series, I had no practice or qualifying, and I had never even seen a lot of the tracks. I mean, the drop of the green flag was my first time on Richmond, Sonoma, road course, you know, Road America. Well, actually, Road America, we had practice because it was a new track, but, you know, Richmond, Sonoma, Martinsville, you name it. There's a lot of challenging places I had never raced at before. And it was just a totally different experience. And I don't think there's been a more challenging time in history for a rookie in motorsports.
What was the hardest track to go and run without ever seeing the track?
That's an awesome question. Probably without seeing, there was some that were hard that I had been to like once, but without practice or qualifying, like Darlington and Dover, I had no practice or qualifying in Xfinity. And those were tough in Cup cards, but now they're some of my favorite tracks. So I would say, I would probably have to say Sonoma, just because it's a road course. So there's, you know, a ton of turns, and it's not as easy as an oval. At least an oval is not super overwhelming. You know, you're just turning left the whole time, but the road courses, to never even see, that's where that manufacturer at some time, you know, came in and was a huge help. Or the Roval. The Roval's tough too, with no practice or qualifying. So I would say any of the road courses were probably top of the list. And then as far as the ovals go, working their way down, I mean, with the package we ran in the Cup Series last year, they weren't crazy challenging. It's just a little bit overwhelming taking the green flag and not being familiar with the track or even knowing what your car is going to do entering turn one. But ironically, going back to Sonoma on the road courses being the hardest, since I had never been to them, I actually was running top five at Sonoma in the end, which would have been a career day and absolute phenomenal accomplishment for our team if we were to finish up there. But we got completely wiped out on one of the green white checker restarts, which was a shame. So that was kind of rewarding to go to a place, a road course I've never even seen before, take the green flag and have a shot at a top five at the end. It sucked it got taken away, but that was kind of a cool race because of, you know, the feat that we were, you know, accomplishing.
Yeah, and you mentioning Sonoma kind of makes sense, because that is the road course in the Cup Series that probably has the worst tire wear. I mean, Road America is probably pretty close, but Road America is getting repaved, so I'm going to throw that out. It's got a big repave project coming this year. Does the new Xfinity schedule that came out, you guys go back next year, I believe, to Road America, right? Do you guys go to Road America next year?
Yes, yeah, and I'm excited because I love Road America, but I'm disappointed that you just mentioned it's going to get repaved. That stinks. That's why I think I was so good at Sonoma, is I'm excited to go there next year with Xfinity. I love that track. It's just really flowy, really fun. And the tire wear is a big part of why I like it and why I'm fast at those places. Cause I think I'm really good at tire management. That comes from my late model experience and racing at these worn out tracks on, you know, one set of tires. So Road America and Sonoma were always really, really fun to me. But I mean, at the same time, Road America would still be cool because it's probably going to be super, super fast and have a lot of grip if they repave the whole thing. So that would be interesting to see how it changes.
Yeah, how much faster do you guys think you'll, you know, do you think you guys will be running around there? I would imagine it could be, what, 10 seconds a lap quicker?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure if it'll be that much or more. It's just depending, you know, it will easily be. I mean, I would think it'd be probably be close to that, if not more, because there's certain corners on that track where you could easily pick up half a second with the repave just in the braking zone, let alone exiting the corner, because you're going to be able to get the power down quicker and ultimately build momentum faster. And with how long the straightaways are there, you know, if you get to the throttle a tiny bit earlier or get wide open a little bit sooner on exit, you're going to be creating a huge gap and shaving a ton of time off by the end of the straightaway. And with more grip, you could also get in a little bit deeper. So you'll be going faster though, too. So I'm not sure the braking zones will be that much deeper. That'll just matter on your car's performance and efficiency under braking. But either way, it'll be interesting to see. That's for sure.
Yeah. And you guys will pick up, you know, you'll pick up a lot of grip there. Like the carousel, that corner is going to be, I think that's the corner that'll probably change the most. You'll be able to go so much faster through there and ultimately probably be carrying way more speed through the kink, where we've seen some pretty wicked crashes already.
Yeah, for sure. I think it'll be pretty hairy in a couple places because how fast it'll be, but it'll just be a lot faster and smoother with more grip in a lot of other areas. So the characteristics are totally going to change and the race will be a different dynamic.
So we kind of touched on it right there a little bit with Road America's repave, but what do you think about the schedule for the Xfinity Series next year? Or are you going to be back in the Cup Series? You mentioned, you know, that being an option, you know, with the next gen car that seems to have brought everybody closer together, that the team you ran for in the Cup Series Front Row all of a sudden is looking pretty good, a super competitive team, a bunch of different winners this year. So what are your options for next year? And if you do stay in the Xfinity Series, what do you think about just the new schedules overall for Cup and Xfinity next year?
I think the Xfinity schedule is excellent. There's a lot of road courses now, which some people aren't a fan of. I'm kind of in the middle. Obviously the oval racing is kind of the roots of our sport, and that's what I got into it from. But the road course racing has been really fun to me so far. I've really enjoyed learning a totally different discipline of racing, being with a smaller team. Some of them are give us a better chance at running more competitively. So I think it levels the playing field a little bit and puts it more in the driver's hands, which is a lot of fun too. Actually got my first career pole at Portland when we went there for the first time. So I'm excited to go road course racing a little bit more. And the Cup Series schedule is interesting too. You know, they have a couple of races that Xfinity's not going to be at, like North Wilkesboro, unfortunately. I don't think, right?
Xfinity's there's no Cup race.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I would love to race there, especially in Xfinity, but I think the cars would be awesome there. But it's all in all, it's a solid schedule, and I'm sure NASCAR is going to keep switching it up and you know, growing the sport by hitting different venues and maybe even adding some totally new places like the Chicago Street Course. Who knows what could happen there? It's going to be, I think, chaotic and kind of a cool weekend. It'll be a big deal for our sport to have a street race, but the racing product's going to be interesting to see how that goes. So I'm excited about it. Be fun schedule. Definitely shooting for full time in the Xfinity Series again. But the Cup Series is intriguing because, like you said, it definitely leveled the playing field with that new car. And that was kind of the whole goal last year, was to have an opportunity to grow with that organization and stay there, but it just wasn't meant to be. And I have a great opportunity in front of me now. So just working on that.
Yeah, and right now you're at R Motorsports. How would you grade your guys' season so far? And there's been a couple races, you know, when people think about you and the season, they're going to think about, obviously, the great pit call to have tires left at Fontana and give you guys a shot to go win the race. But outside of Fontana, and if you want to talk about Fontana, we can, but how would you grade the season overall, and will you be back with them next season?
We're still working on next season and finalizing our plans, but this year's definitely gone as well as it could. You mentioned that auto club race. That was one I felt like we should have won. Had it won if it weren't for that red flag. It was a 30-minute hold after a wreck on one of those restarts, and that allowed all the competitors' tires to cool off. So we lost our advantage. And even though my tires were a couple laps fresher, their tires being able to cool off leveled the playing field. And honestly, we were a 17th, 18th place car that day. And we've gotten our cars a lot better, but we struggled compared to the, some of those big teams just with straight line speed. So tires help you through the corner, but they don't help you going down the straightaway. So unfortunately, we did all we could and got a top five, which was awesome. But I was, you know, as great a finish as that was, I was disappointed we didn't win, just because that would have been a big deal for us. And there were some other races we were in contention. All the super speedways have been up front, leading laps, competing for wins. The short tracks have been solid for us. Road courses have been decent if we could stay out of trouble. But those races are such a toss up at the end when you get a late caution. So almost like Martinsville or super speedway. So it's been a tough year. I think the biggest thing to point out is the fact that our back's against the wall every week. And what I mean by that is, we don't have many cars at all. There's only four crew members on my team, and that crew is the shop crew. So they bust their tail to get to the racetrack every week with me and go compete. And we definitely run more competitively and finish better than we should every week. If people knew what we were dealing with week in and week out, they wouldn't believe it. You know, the situation's been tough. It hasn't been the best at times, but we've definitely tried to make do with what we got. And I feel like we always over deliver. So hopefully people take notice of that. I think, you know, our sponsors do for sure. And hopefully new ones do, because, you know, that's a true testament to my team and I.
Yeah. And you mentioned the, you know, the ups, the downs. You guys were, you know, obviously a highlights Fontana. There's some lowlights in there. And one, you know, one was in the news for all the wrong reasons just a week ago, you know, with you and Jeb on pit road, and the NTV caught it. And so what happened with that? Was what was Jeb frustrated about there?
Oh, he was frustrated that when I was passing him, he didn't leave enough room and got himself spun out. So he hadn't seen the replay yet. So obviously your perspective in the driver's seat can always be different at times without seeing it from outside the car. And I think when he saw the replay, he realized what had went down. But he was aggravated. He felt like he needed to address it without looking at it first. So that's why there was a minor argument, but it didn't lead to much, because, you know, I knew he would understand when he watched a replay, and it wasn't worth fighting over, especially a teammate. You know, we both have our backs against the wall and are trying to do all we can every week, just, you know, play our few cards right. You know, like I was saying before, just everything we lack at our motorsports, and trying to spread our resources and our, you know, time and budget to get to the racetrack, let alone be competitive, has, you know, wearing down on the both of us. So I think we both, you know, have emotions running high too, just because this year hasn't been easy for either of us.
Yeah. And the situation wasn't helped, you know, it had to be super awkward with the fan coming up asking for an autograph there while you guys were in the middle of a pretty heated discussion.
I didn't even notice that until afterwards, because, you know, we were trying to set it straight and I was trying to explain to him what had happened. I think, like I said, it was heat of the moment for him. We all have those incidents as race car drivers, you know, no matter what happens. So, you know, we're on to the next one. I'm sure he's over it. I know I was as soon as it was over, because, you know, I knew he would understand once he saw the replay. So never want to get into a teammate on the track. And unfortunately it just happened, because we were racing hard and you know, I was passing him. So that's part of it. You know, we're top 15 in points and you know, way ahead of our teammates. So there's 23 teams plugging away at it and fighting all we can every week.
Yep, that's right. So we look forward to seeing more from you next season here. And we're going to finish this up with a little bit of you do some Twitch stuff and you mentioned some YouTube stuff. What's your YouTube channel? What's your Twitch?
Plug all my that stuff. My YouTube channel is Anthony Alfredo. All my social media is at Anthony Alfredo. Twitch is Anthony Alfredo Racing. If you want to watch me stream iRacing and some other games. So come check it out. There's a lot of content on there. I'm going to do a lot in the off season as well. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Now, how did you get the name Fast Pasta? How'd that come about? Just being Alfredo, even though that's just a pasta sauce, right? That's not the
pasta. Alfredo's just a sauce, but it happened while I was racing regionally. I was racing late models at Hickory Motor Speedway, and the track announcer there coined the term and just stuck with me ever since. So, you know, I've fully embraced it now. I've got a cool little logo. It's my pit sign, and on t-shirts, the cartoon version of me eating a bowl of pasta. So, we've definitely found ways to have fun with it.
It's a cool nickname, right? You can't pick your own. So why not get one that's pretty cool? Could be a lot worse. I'm sure there's a lot of people who have said worse about you out there on the racetrack.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I like it. It's not bad.
And everybody who joins us here at Pit Pass Network, we highlight a charity and donate to their charity. So what charity do you want to highlight here this week?
I would like to highlight the Friends of Jaclyn Foundation and help the families of pediatric cancer patients, as well as the patients themselves. So to make a donation to them would be really cool. I actually did a program where they have the Adopt a Child program, where they pair a patient with a sports team. And we brought them into NASCAR. And I've got my little buddy, Zach, who is so awesome, so inspirational. And it's really cool what they do, pairing these children with, you know, their favorite sports teams or local organizations and groups. So I think it would be cool to help benefit that charity.
Yeah. Yeah. Every charity is great. That sounds like a great one to be partnered with, like you said, a local sports team or a favorite driver, right? Favorite driver. You gotta be some favorite drivers out there, right?
Oh yeah. There's definitely some guys I've looked up to coming up through the ranks and that I've been inspired by. So anyway, we could help grow the sport together is cool.
Well, thanks for joining us here today. I know you said you got some YouTube stuff to go and do. You're going to be out in Las Vegas this weekend. Season wraps up. And anybody who wants to race with Anthony, just get on iRacing, get out there on the track with Anthony Alfredo. Great to race with, fun guy to talk to. Had a great time today. Thanks for joining us today, Anthony, and good luck in Vegas.
Thank you. I appreciate it.